Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Neo Gamer Podcast. It is Tuesday, July 17th, 2012, and we are live once again recording this podcast and streaming out to our listeners. After a week off, I've come back. This is John Callahan with us, as always, as of our compatriots, Tim and Larry. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you, Larry?
I'm doing good too, Tim. Nice to be talking to you guys, as always.
Cool. So I haven't actually listened to the podcast. I have been so busy. I've literally been, you know, so preoccupied with my trip to Comic-Con last week that I haven't even had time to listen to the podcast. So what did you guys discuss? Anything bad about behind my back?
No, just, you know, the usual games that we've played and the news from the week, even though that was a bit last minute in terms of preparation, but nah, it was all good. But yeah, definitely good to have you back, John.
Cool.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah, and I'll just talk about this briefly, even though I didn't really do anything gaming oriented at the show. I saw a lot of games, didn't actually play any, but I went to Comic-Con in San Diego last week. I was actually in San Diego for 8 days total. The wife and I spent the first couple of days just walking around San Diego and the nearby Coronado Island. That was nice. Got to dip our toes the Pacific Ocean and everything. So that was kind of cool. And nice. and then we hit the Comic-Con convention floor, and oh my gosh, it was like madness over there. If you've had any of the news reports from Comic-Con, you know that it's just a massive event. We went, my wife and I went actually in 2005, and it seemed pretty big then, and it's just overwhelming now. It's overwhelming, and actually spills out into two neighboring hotels. You know, it can't even be contained in the convention center anymore, and it has to go out to two neighboring hotels, and then there's all sorts of other activities outside that are not actually authorized by Comic-Con, but they're, you know, there for everything. Like BioWare had a booth where I think you could play, you know, the Mass Effect 3 Earth DLC before it was released today, you know, at Comic-Con last week. And Sega had a outside venue where you could play Aliens Colonial Marines just across the street from the convention center. And Microsoft partnered up with a company called Nerd Machine, and they showed off some upcoming Xbox 360 games at that venue. And then inside the convention, you had, you know, Capcom was showing, you know, Resident Evil 6, and Ubisoft was showing Assassin's Creed 3, and, you know, Warner Brothers was showing off their, you know, their fighting game, superhero fighting game, Injustice, you know, all sorts of gaming stuff at Comic-Con. You know, it's not quite as extensive as E3, obviously, but there were still some pretty interesting exhibits over there. And so if you're not a trade person, you know, if you're not involved in the game industry and were lucky enough to get to go to Comic-Con, you were able to get some hands on some upcoming games, which I think is pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and
I'm planning on going to the New York one. I believe it's in October.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah, cool.
So
I think it's probably turned into, it's not as you know, like Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con's been around since the 70s, but New York Comic-Con it's only been around for a few years, but it's already, I think, ballooned to like 80,000 people or so.
Oh wow! I didn't realize that.
So yeah, that's huge. So if you go, you'll be prepared to be crunched. So yeah, and so yeah, so good times. Good and but you know, my wife and I just concentrated on the TV and media stuff that they had there. You know, we went. You know, the convention center has a Hall H, which can hold like 6,500 people, and my wife and I spent the majority of our time there, so we got to see, you know, panels about upcoming TV shows and movies, like, you know, saw a reel from the upcoming Walking Dead season and Game of Thrones and saw clips from, you know, and Pretty Expendables 2, and Sly and Earl were there to talk about it, so we were there for that, and, you know, all these, you know, all these other, you know, all, you know, super, saw Superman Man of Steel, we saw Iron Man 3 with Robert Downey Jr. walking pretty near us, you know, dancing around as Tony. It was fun. So I don't know how much you guys are interested in that sort of stuff. For the wife and I, it was kind of fun.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to go to one. There's one in, I think it's in Melbourne, which is pretty close to where I live, but now it doesn't live up to the ones that they have in the States. So maybe one day I'll be able to, you know, pop over and check it out.
Yeah. Well, if you know, they keep talking about, you know, having Comic-Con leave San Diego because it's simply too big for it. You know, there's, you know, I think that they're going to have to make a decision on it because supposedly their contract runs out in 2015, and by then they're supposed to have a at least start building a expansion to the convention center that will hold 50% more space. So if they don't get started on that ASAP, I think they'll probably move it to something like more reasonable, like Las Vegas or something like that. So, which will be great for me, you know, since I've been to Las Vegas for events like CES, and I know that they would be able to handle things like Comic-Con pretty easily. So we'll see what happens with that. And I'm actually surprised, you know, you guys remember a year ago, a month ago when I went to E3 and there was some debate about whether or not 2013 would see E3 return to Los Angeles. So we haven't heard anything. I haven't heard an update about that yet. So I don't know if that's good or bad. So there's that. So forgive me for talking about my vacation, but it was fun.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, I'm interested in going myself. So, and I think it's safe to say the majority of our crowd is probably interested in Comic-Con as well. So,
I would hope so. Yeah, if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see pictures of myself and my wife taking all sorts of pictures and stuff like that. Yeah, so that was kind of fun. So, wanted to talk about some. Let's talk about some game stuff. For all of you Linux fans out there, we've kind of reported on this earlier a few months ago that Valve was actively working on a Linux port of Steam and also their Source engine. And this week they actually confirmed it. Valve itself actually launched a Linux development blog where they talk a little bit about their plans for Linux. They're going to use the Ubuntu version of Linux at first, although they say they may support other Linux builds as well. And they're working on bringing Steam to Linux and also Left 4 Dead 2. And if that works out, they'll bring other Valve Source Engine games to Linux as well. And I know there's a lot of interest in it, and I posted a story on this on NeoGamer. Got a lot of hits almost immediately. Got a lot of hits and comments. So there's obviously an audience for this, even though Linux is, you know, let's face facts. Linux is not used by the vast majority of PC users. You know, it's used by the ultra hardcore hardware geeks. So what do you guys think? Do you think there's a big enough audience for Linux that it'll make it's worth Valve's time to dedicate a team towards it?
Well, I don't see why not. If they can sell on another platform, you know, what's the big deal? You know, if they're making more money from this, then it's going to be good for everyone, and especially the people who use Linux. They'll be able to enjoy some Source games. And, of course, you never know what if other developers will port their games because Steam's on the platform as well, which, of course, happened with sort of the Mac. Once Steam came to the Mac, lots of games started becoming available. So you never know what could happen from there.
Yep. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah, you know, I pretty much agree with Tim. You know, I think we probably have a semi-warped perception of how many Linux users are out there because NeoWin seems to have a pretty active community as far as that's involved. So I don't know, you know, how big it truly is, but I definitely know there's a fan base out there, and I definitely know they've been clamoring for games for quite some time. So, you know, it seems as if they finally get their wishes coming true. So I think it will probably wind up working out very, very well for Valve. And, you know, it's just going to be, as Tim said, another platform that they could get their stuff out on. And I think people will wind up really, really using it. And I think they're meeting a need that's people have been vocal about wanting for quite some time. So should work out pretty well for them. We'll be interested to see if it actually does.
Yeah. We'll, you know, like I said, there certainly seems to be a lot of interest about it. And my only concern is that, you know, Linux is probably used less than even Mac is at this stage. So even though I think it's great that they're porting Steam to Linux, and I think that's probably a good idea, I do question a little bit about, you know, if there's going to be enough people, enough Linux users to make a game, a port of a game, you know, profitable for Valve. Of course, Valve, you know, has got a lot of money anyway. They may not, you know, may not really care if they make money off of it. But, you know, it's still a fairly limited platform, and it's going to remain a fairly limited platform for gaming. It certainly can be, you know, certainly Linux is used a lot for servers and other open source projects, but it's, you know, in terms of its gaming uses, it's, you know, it's never really caught on as a platform. So we'll see what happens with it. And they haven't really, and Valve hasn't really announced any release dates of either the Steam or the Left 4 Dead Linux port. So we'll, but we'll definitely keep an eye out on that. Some other news that popped up today was that if you pre-order Medal of Honor Warfighter, the upcoming next game in EA's shooter series, you'll be able to get a invite to a beta test for Battlefield 4, which is the next game in DICE's own modern military series. So, and this is something that that's already, you know, that they did, you know, a couple of years ago. People who bought the revamped Medal of Honor in 2010 got a chance to get into the beta for Battlefield 3, and it looks like they're going to do the same thing again. So, what do you guys think about this? Does that make you automatically want to get Medal of Honor Warfighter to get an early shot at Battlefield 4? You'll just say, I'll just wait until, you know, I'll get a regular beta invite.
Go ahead, Larry.
No, you could go. I was just going to say I actually did pick up Medal of Honor in 2010 because of the Battlefield 3 beta invite.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I won't lie. So, you know, I kind of learned my lesson, so to speak.
I see.
But with that said, you know, I probably was going to pick up the game regardless, so why not get it for the Battlefield 4 beta invite is kind of the way I see things. So I guess my long answer is yes, I will.
Okay. Yeah,
I was just wondering, you know, why are they coming out with Battlefield 4 so soon after Battlefield 3? Doesn't seem like an EA move to, you know, release another game just it's going to be 2 years after the previous one? I think that's pretty soon.
It's pretty soon, yeah.
Especially if they weren't releasing, like, Bad Company 3 or something like that. If it actually is a sequel to Battlefield 3, yeah, that would surprise me.
Well, yeah, I mean, in all fairness, there hasn't been any release dates. There's just been the fact that, you know, it will be released. So, I mean, I guess we could speculate it probably will be 2 years, but it very well may not. And I saw DICE actually released a statement earlier today about the whole thing, saying, you know, don't get upset. We're fully committed. DLC is going to go through the year, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know if it's a guarantee it'll definitely be out 2 years after Battlefield 3. You know, chances are it will be, but again, you know, at the same time, it is a slightly different world of gaming, and, you know, as long as they don't do the yearly release like Call of Duty, then I think we really have cause for concern. But I don't know. I don't necessarily see it as such an odd thing in today's gaming climate where it seems like yearly releases are the thing, and you know, but at the same time, I would rather them take time off, especially since at the end of the day, Battlefield 3 is so, you know, pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. And I personally was hoping for a new Battlefield 2142 or whatever they would have wound up calling it.
Oh, that would be
it.
Awesome, wouldn't it? I would vote for that. I would roll for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just on the yearly releases, EA is pretty much doing yearly releases considering they released Battlefield 3 last year and they're going ahead with Medal of Honor Warfighter this year. And mm-hmm. I think the year before Battlefield 3, they released their Medal of Honor reboot. So.
Yeah, so they're releasing a modern military shooter every year. It's just not in the same franchise. Yeah. It's one's Medal of Honor, one's Battlefield. So yeah,
good point.
You know, Activision basically does the same thing. It's just they link both games with the same franchise. You know, Treyarch makes the Black Ops, and Infinity Ward makes the Modern Warfare games. So yeah, it's the same deal, just a different way of doing it. So, but you know, it's certainly been successful for Activision. I guess they think that EA thinks it's going to be successful for them. So, but as we've pointed out in the past, you know, the Medal of Honor games and the Battlefield games are just two totally different kinds of game experiences, just completely. Whereas the Call of Duty shooters, you know, they're, even though there's, you know, slight variations, it's basically the same kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
even though those latest screenshots of the Medal of Honor multiplayer do show helicopters and all that, so it looks like they might be trying to get more like Battlefield, which I think would be a really bad mistake on their part. So
yeah.
Who knows?
Actually, during Comic-Con, even though I wasn't there to actually attend this panel, Epic Games finally released details of their next major game release, Fortnite, and they confirmed that it will be the first game that will use Unreal Engine 4, which was first revealed earlier this year. You know, it's basically the same game they kind of revealed in December. It's kind of a cross between an action game and a defense game where you and friends are building up your fortress during the day, and at night you have to defend it from creatures. And I don't know if you guys have seen the screenshots of Fortnite. I know that Tim has because he's reported on it. What do you guys think? I'm actually kind of disappointed about the look of the game, because it doesn't look like a game that looks like it would be under Unreal Engine 4. At least not the demo that I got to see at E3 in June.
Well, just looking at the screen, I'm actually looking at the screenshots now, and it's definitely not trying to be like a super realistic game, which I'm sure that the Unreal Engine 4 is definitely capable of. But the way I see it is that from these screenshots, it looks like a really good imitation of like a child's sort of, not sort of a cartoon, but like an animation, like something that Pixar might do. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that for that, the graphics that are used in this look really good. But yeah, as you were saying, it is a bit disappointing that they decided that the first Unreal Engine 4 game would not use any of the extremely cool realistic effects that they have shown off in their demo. So yeah, but to be honest, the gameplay for me sounds pretty cool, where you get to, you know, scavenge for items and you build up your own fortresses, and you know, it's all co-op and that sort of stuff. So that does interest me, but I'll have to wait and see exactly what it's like, because some of the comments on that news post weren't exactly favorable.
I have to say I'm not a fan of the look at all. It's something about it just. I don't think it's very appealing. I don't know. I just don't like it. And I'm usually pretty pretty open with different approaches to graphics and all that. It's just, I don't know, the characters look kind of cheesy to me. I don't know. It's almost like I feel like they're like in caught in between the cartoon but still trying to retain some realism. I would have rather just gone full cartoony But, yeah, I don't know. Something just doesn't do it for me about it. But, you know, it's Epic, and it's a PC-only game. I think it'll probably wind up being a pretty successful game overall, but you never know. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, no. I'm with Larry. I'm not sure I like the art style of Fortnite at all. I have no problem with, you know, games that try for a more cartoony art style. Certainly games like Borderlands have that, try to do that kind of a similar thing, and I think they do that very well. This look doesn't really appeal to me at all. I'm not a fan of it, and I think it's the wrong. Even though it, you know, Unreal Engine 4 can certainly handle different kinds of art styles, I think this is probably the wrong way to launch an Unreal Engine 4 game. I would prefer a game that has more detail and more, you know, more of a look, a more realistic look for an Unreal Engine 4 game. Just to help sell the engine, you know, I guess, to other developers. The look of this game just looks very current generation to me, you know.
Yeah,
it just does. And, you know, again, this is just on a first, you know, viewpoint. You know, the game's not going to be coming out for quite a while, but you know, I'm sure that we're not I know that Larry and I are not alone in our view for this viewpoint for this thing. So we'll see. Epic is trying to do something different. I give them mad props for that. They're not trying to do the same thing over and over again. But I think that, you know, different is not necessarily better in this case. So,
but what also surprises me is that surely Epic has a fairly large game development team, but this game doesn't seem like it would be using all of it. So you'd have to wonder, maybe there's another Unreal Engine 4 game in the pipeline as well, as maybe a different part of their team that is working on something that is more realistic than this. Because I can't imagine that from what they've described and what they've shown that this is something as big as the Gears of War franchise, which I'm sure they've put a hell of a lot of resources into. So
Yeah. Well, of course, you know, the Gears of War franchise is continuing with People Can Fly, which is owned by Epic. And, you know, they also own Chair Entertainment, which has made the Shadow Complex and the Infinity Blade games. And they may be working on something that's Unreal Engine 4 related. And, you know, as we reported a few weeks ago, Epic has now got itself a new team in Maryland based on the former 38 Studios teams. So they may have some, it sounds like they have quite a few projects in the offering, so this may not be the only thing. I'm sure it's not the only thing that they're working on. It's just the one thing that they probably are comfortable enough to show at this stage in development. So something tells me we'll get some more Unreal Engine 4 announcements before too long. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. Some other news. You may have heard that did you guys talk about this at all about Project Greenlight in last week's podcast?
I don't think we did.
Basically, Valve was kind of announced last week that they're going to be coming out with a system in late August that's called Project Greenlight, and it's basically kind of like Kickstarter, but it has nothing to do with actually funding games. It has to do basically with helping to get attention for games that might or might not receive it. You know, basically, if a game developer wants to have his or her game released on Steam, Valve is giving them a way to kind of show, you know, screenshots and have people vote on whether or not they should should be placed on Steam, and Valve will take that into consideration and decide whether or not to publish the game on Steam based on voter feedback. And I guess that's Valve is basically wants to have more input from the community about what games they should or shouldn't sell on Steam. So what do you think about that? You know, obviously, you know, in the past, you know, Valve has basically chosen the games that's published on Steam's on their own. And I think they've got a pretty good track record on picking games that appeal to a wide variety of audiences, both the mass market games and the small indie games. Do you think there's a need for Valve to let the community kind of get in on this kind of decision-making process? Or is it just maybe just too much?
Well, I don't see why not. I mean, there's an enormous Steam community, so
yeah,
you know, more ways to involve them in the whole process of gaming. I'm sure that, you know, that would be good for the whole community. So
yep.
Yeah.
Do you think there might be a danger of, you know, someone gaming this system, to put it in an interesting way, to kind of just set up a voting system and then have the developers set up a way to get a lot of votes in?
Yeah, but even if they get a lot of votes, it doesn't necessarily mean that a lot of people will buy the game, and then it might fail. So
right,
I guess it's just a good way to show, you know, upcoming games or ideas for games. So yeah, to be honest, like, I don't have any sort of problem with something like this, and I might even join in on all the voting process. So yeah, that's pretty much what I have to think about that.
Yep.
I have to say I'm more or less in agreement. I don't really see what harm it could do. Even though, I don't know, I guess playing devil's advocate, like you said, John, I'm not even sure if there's really that big of a need for it. I guess in a way it's just another way to make the PC gaming community feel even tighter and stronger. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I guess that's good. But at the same time, like you said, I'm not necessarily sure I'm sold on the need, because it seems like it's already a pretty tight community to begin with. And, you know, if anything, though, I guess this probably gets some exposure to games that might not have had that much exposure otherwise. So, yeah, it can't really hurt anything at the end of the day, I don't think. Now, do we know if they're taking a cut of the action?
Well, obviously, if a game is published on Steam, Valve takes some kind of royalty cut from the
right.
Revenues they derived from it. So, yeah, you know, any game that's published on Steam, Valve, you know, benefits from the money that they get from each sale. So there's that. But that's, you know, that's always been the way it happens with their third-party
right, like
games.
I'm curious if there's even more of a cut because they're helping with the, you know, getting it out there and all that.
That's certainly possible, and I don't know the answer to that question. So that it may be that Valve gets more money from you know, the games that are submitted and accepted from this particular setup. So I don't really know. I would think not, but that's certainly an interesting possibility. But it's certainly a different way to involve the community more than just, you know, having a message board, you know, and giving them
yeah.
and giving the gamers more of a say about what games they would like to see on there. Again, I think that Valve has actually done a pretty good job of putting in that giving gamers what they would like to get. And they certainly, whenever a game is published on Steam, it automatically gets, you know, a lot more exposure than they probably would ordinarily. So there's that. Since I was at Comic-Con last week, what did you guys decide to play the past week while I was gone?
Larry, did you end up checking out Driver San Francisco?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. On Tim's recommendation, I went back and visited Driver San Francisco. I'm currently playing it, and I have to say, I pretty much love the damn game. I really think it's a good game overall. It's actually telling Tim, I'm not sure why more driving games haven't taken this approach to where it's driving, but it's like story-based objectives with the driving. You know, a lot of it, and don't get me wrong, a lot of games try to do it. You know, Need for Speed, the Run or whatever that was called. You were driving across country, but that was the extent of it. You know, in Driver, they really do frame the driving that's taking place around an overall story, and then there's other events like stunts, races, takedown events. It's just a really, really good arcade driving experience. I'm really, really enjoying the hell out of it. And that's about... I don't know how it was so overlooked. I really think more people would probably have liked this game. And I'm not sure if you know the whole catch of it, John, but you could basically shift from one car to another.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I heard that. You're not actually playing a character. You're playing a character in who's actually having some kind of dream or something like that. And you're shifting. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, so... That alone kind of really does, it sounds gimmicky, but it really does bring another level of strategy to everything. Like a perfect example is there are these certain events that are, you're a cop and you have to take down, you know, criminals fleeing in their cars. And so basically, the one easiest way to do that is you're the cop car behind those cars and you shift into a car that's coming the opposite way in incoming traffic, shift into that car, smack head on into one of the criminal cars, shift back to your car, and repeat, you know? And you could hop into any car, basically, that's on the road. So there are buses. You could actually shift into a car and drive it to the back of a tow truck and have it hook up to the tow truck. So it really kind of does bring a little, you know, it kind of sounds like it could get a little gimmicky, but as of now, I'm still enjoying it. So yeah, I really appreciate the recommendation, Tim. I'm enjoying it. And the other game I did check out this past week was Quantum Conundrum.
Did you like that?
I can't say I did. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm
sorry.
You know, I'm still very early on, so it very well could grow on me, but you know, I think my biggest beef with it is definitely what I read a lot of the reviews were saying, and that's there's a lot of precision going on in the game, at least to feel competent at it, and precision platforming in first person is not necessarily, those two don't necessarily go hand in hand. So, yeah, I don't know. Something just feels a little off about it. I think that's my biggest beef with it is that it seems like it's going to require some really big precision, some really precise precision, I guess would be the best way to say it. But it feels like it's going to be hard to pull that precision off. So I can't say I'm really eager to move on. And what I have played so far, just it kind of, I couldn't really help but kind of get the feeling of been there, done that. I hate to say it, but to me it kind of came off as like, you know, Portal's redheaded stepchild. Like it kind of seemed like a poor man's Portal to me. And you know, I do have to play it some more, and that's not my definitive feeling. I might wind up loving it, and you know, I kind of hope I do because I did actually go ahead and buy it. So,
cool.
Yeah. So those are the two games I've basically been playing right now. What about you guys?
Yeah, well, I've been pretty much abusing Steam's summer sale that's been going on. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I was just getting back into PC gaming. So obviously now there's a giant sale. I'm picking up all the PC like exclusives, some of the indie titles that I haven't checked out before. And what's actually been really interesting is that I think I've mentioned this before, but retail games here, like full price retail games in Australia, are about $80 or $90 for, you know, the new titles.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I know, it's quite expensive. But so far, I've spent maybe about $50 on games, so not that much. And I've got, so far, I've got Alan Wake, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, Amnesia, Bastion, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Hitman Blood Money, Mirror's Edge, Portal 2, Rayman Origins, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, Super Meat Boy, and Trine 2. All for $50.
That's 12 games for $50 is not bad at all. Yeah.
And actually, every single game that you mentioned is a damn good game.
And some of these pretty much steals. Like, just this morning I picked up Vice City for $2.50 or something. I mean, that is just, that's like less than a coffee. So that's just insanely good deal.
But yeah, you just reminded me. I was thinking of picking up GTA 4 because of all the mods and stuff you could do with it.
Yeah, it's $7.50 at the moment, so it's a good buy for that. And but the game I've actually been playing was Rayman Origins. I think I mentioned I mentioned before that that was the next game on my list. Picked that up for $15 on sale, so that was a good deal. And yeah, I'm really enjoying it. It's been ages since I've played a platforming game like this, and I've got to say, it's just lovable. It's just a game for kids that I can also just really get into and enjoy, and the platforming is extremely well done, and the style and everything about it, it's just really, really enjoyable. I have to say that some of the missions where you have to get these, like, teeth things in this running away box, they are really difficult, and I'm not entirely sure how kids are supposed to do them.
Wait until you unlock. Remember on the podcast I told you I had finally beaten it, but I was like stuck on some levels. It was the last level that you get after you collect all those teeth. It was the hardest level I think I might have ever played in a video game. So I'm absolutely with you. I don't see how little kids would be able to do it. I really don't.
Yeah, but I definitely see how little kids could enjoy the whole, you know, the whole style and everything, and the characters that you could choose. They all have, you know, unique things, and I've chosen this big fat red blob thing, and it's just hilarious to see it, you know, go around and like hit at things and whack into the ground and sort of go all weird. And yeah, I'm just loving it. It seems to continually surprise me about some of the stuff that the game does. So I've played about 4 hours so far, so definitely enjoying.
The soundtrack to it, I think, is one of the best things about it as well. It's really, it's actually really subtle. It's not like in your face, but the music and just the sounds are just so incredibly, they tie everything together so incredibly well. Like, I'm not sure if you got there yet, but there's some underwater sequences. And just the music in it is like blew me away. Like, it's,
oh yeah,
it's honestly, yeah, it's one of the best games of last year, I believe. Like, I truly do believe that.
Yeah, of course, sometimes the PC controls are not exactly the best. For example, I was noticing that it says throughout the game, like, on the menus and stuff, it says enter, but the actual key you need to use is space. So,
oh, wow.
It sort of said enter space, and I thought, that's kind of strange. But, yeah, apart from that, definitely very enjoyable game, and unfortunately, it's not on the $15 Steam sale anymore, but if you can pick it up for something like that, that's a steal, and it's really worth it. So,
yeah, and they could very well bring it back at the end of the Steam sale. They do that a lot, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just wanted to point out that, of course, the Steam sale is continuing through July 22nd. Today's offers that they put up include one of my personal favorites, Company of Heroes. You can get the first game in the series for just $2.49. $2.49 for one of the best games ever made, if you haven't tried it before. You know, and you can get the other two standalone expansions for like $4.99 each, which means you can get all three games for $12.48. So that would be the one that I would recommend from this batch. But that's just me.
And for $17.50, you can get the Grand Theft Auto Complete Package, which comes with every Grand Theft Auto game released on PC, including episodes from Liberty City with GTA 4. So, yeah, if you haven't played any of those, and it includes the first two as well. So, if you've never played those before. And, of course, GTA 4 is $7.50 on sale, so that's another very good deal.
Yep. And
The Complete Edition, which also comes with episodes from Liberty City, is also $7.50. So I'm not sure why you buy just GTA 4 when you could also buy Liberty City story episodes from Liberty City for the same price. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the indie bundle, the latest indie bundle, is up for the next 20, you know, 29 hours or so. It has five indie games that you can get for $9.99, or you can get several of them separately for the amount of money. If you're going to pick one out of this indie bundle, I would definitely get DEFCOM. That's one of my favorite indie games. You know, a lot, a war games like scenario, a strategy game with thermonuclear war. That was one of my favorites. It's on sale now for $3.39, which is 66% off its price. So if you just want to get that game, I would recommend that as well. So,
yeah, heaps of really good sales. So it's a good time to get back into PC gaming for me.
Yep. So,
Just out of curiosity, Tim, did you ever play Limbo?
I haven't played it yet. I actually have it on Steam. I got it a couple of weeks ago, but haven't yet played it. But it's definitely in my list of things, I guess, because I've bought so many. I'm not sure exactly when I'll play it, but I'll get there.
Nice. Just play it. Definitely play it. It's a great game.
It's cool. And and I guess there's really not much coming up next week in terms of new games. Again, we're in this kind of a doldrum period. I think the PC release of Prototype 2 is finally coming out next week from the now somewhat defunct Radical Entertainment. So if you really wanted to play Prototype 2 on the PC, it's finally coming out this next week. Although, quite frankly, I think it's probably going to be. I would wait until it goes on sale or something like that. So, yeah. Anyway, and I guess that's it for this edition of the Neo Gamer Podcast. Thank you for listening. For those who are listening to us on the live stream, Tim will be posting up the recorded version of our podcast very soon. Thanks again, Tim, for handling both the audio and video portions of the podcast for us today.
No worries.
And we all of us will be back next week live talking about games, news, and what we've been playing this week. And hopefully I'll be totally recovered for Comic-Con by then. And until then, for Larry and Tim, this is John, and we will see you next week. Until then, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all right. But seriously, bye.
Okay.